con tu gran currículum y me dice, no, solo di que soy profesor de enfermería y que soy editor de la JAN, ¿no? De la Journal Advanced Nursing. Digo, bueno, eso es como el inicio, pero realmente tiene muchísimo currículum que, y es una persona que trotamundos además, o sea, que tiene una visión de la enfermería impresionante, ¿no? Que realmente se podéis aprovechar también para preguntarle si queréis, ¿no? Bien, entonces, una de las cosas que me decía y sobre todo estaba satisfecho era, es decir, ¿cuánto ha avanzado la enfermería desde la primera vez que él vino aquí, en 1991, hasta ahora? ¿Cuánto ha avanzado en la facultad de enfermería, ¿no? Primero siendo escuela y ahora siendo facultad. Y sobre todo ha visto toda la evolución, ¿no? Que estaba muy satisfecho de ver aquí no había ni máster ni tesis. Y ahora ve que hay gente que está realizando su tesis, sus másteres, que los ha terminado, que dirige tesis, o sea que todo eso, ¿no? Realmente para él es una satisfacción y poder estar aquí, ¿no? Entonces, hoy la presentación que nos va a realizar va a ser de Social Marketing of Your Research and Scholarship. O sea, un poco la diseminación, ¿no? De los resultados, ¿ves? Eso es un poco la idea que nos va a transmitir. Pero podéis preguntarle cualquier cosa, ¿no? Que vaya surgiendo o cualquier otra cosa que penséis que os puede interesar, ¿vale? Okay, thank you, Roger.
Well, thank you very much, Anna. I think I'll stand over here and then I'll see most of you. That's better. Good. Well, hello. Buenos dias. Now English. Thanks for the introduction. I don't know what you said about me, but I'm sure it was good. Really nice to be here. We've got about an hour. This won't take an hour. We can have questions afterwards. I hope you'll ask me lots of questions. And really what I want to talk about is using social media. Twitter, Facebook, that kind of thing to promote your research. And I'm sure most of you have got Facebook sites, Twitter sites, all sorts of things, okay? So I'm not assuming you don't have these things, but I just want to talk about using them strategically to promote research and why you should use them, okay? So what I want to do is sort of help people to make a leap from one way of using social media, one way of thinking about research to the other side of that gap. I'm assuming that he makes it to the other side in the photograph. I don't know. So when we think about publishing our research paper, the traditional way we think about it is to submit the paper and then wait for the peer review to come back, and then we get revisions if we're lucky. Then we resubmit, then we get accepted, then it gets published. And that's what most people stop. Think that's it. Got a paper published. Phew. That's great. The whole world's going to read this, and they're going to love it. But they're not. I mean, some people might read it. Some people might cite it. What can you do to sort of take an extra step and sort of try and push your research out there? And what evidence is there that this is useful? And there is some evidence that this is useful, but I think it's, whether the evidence is strong or not, I think it makes common sense to be trying to promote your research and your scholarship. In other words, the things that you do that are maybe not published pieces of research on social media, because if you don't, you're clearly missing quite a big audience. And I'm 60 years old now, and I only started using Twitter and things about 5 years ago. And it was a revelation to me. I resisted for a long time, and within a few weeks of using Twitter, I was just away. You know, this is fantastic, and if I can do it, then you can, because you're all a lot younger than I am. So I want to get people away from sort of the comfort zone of thinking project, you know, funding, project, publication, next publication, into something where good things can happen, breaking through that wall. So I want to sort of develop people to think a little bit like this goldfish who is escaping from the usual, you know, next publication, made it, what, I'll get my promotion out of this, what's the impact factor of the next journal I'm going to publish in, to thinking, hoo-wee, and then jumping over there and then thinking, well, what do I do now? Okay, so you've got to get away from the usual way of thinking about all these things. These are all important things, but you can add so much more and add value to what you're doing by using social media. Now, you all presumably speak some English. Is this okay? Can you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Good. I've been coming here for 21 no, 25 years I've been coming to Pamplona, since 1991. And when I first did sessions here in 1991, nobody spoke English. It's quite interesting how it's, well, one or two, obviously the translator did. It's fantastic to see how things have developed. Unfortunately, my Spanish hasn't kept up the same pace. Tortilla, cerveza, that's about it. But those are important things. So, what I want to talk about, social networking for grown-ups, okay, not for kids, but it's exactly the same mechanisms. Problem is, there's so many different platforms trying to shout for your attention. And I'm not going to talk about all of these at all, because I don't even know what all of these are. And one thing I would say at the beginning is to try and be strategic about this. Think of a few platforms which other people are using and to focus on those and to use them in a strategic way. Now, I have to say that for any sort of social media campaign, I think Twitter has to be the spearhead of that campaign. Twitter use generally is declining slightly, but not in the academic world. It's going up. And maybe I'll come back in 5 years, Twitter will have gone, something will have replaced it. I mean, so something like Twitter, which is easy to put out, easy to access, free to access by people unless you block them, is really key to this. And while the use of Twitter is declining in some parts of the world, it's not used at all in China, for example, where Google is blocked, but in Saudi Arabia, for example, is the biggest user of Twitter in the world. So there are some real hot spots for using Twitter. And it's very obvious when you use Twitter, the sort of audiences that you can reach. So I want to focus on one or two things. I'm not going to mention Facebook, although I think Facebook is very good. And I think the way to use Facebook effectively as an academic is to link your Twitter account to it. Then you don't have to do anything. Okay, you can go on Facebook if you want and play about and send out messages and respond to things, but you don't have to. If you link your Twitter site to your Facebook site, things automatically go out there and they really get noticed. And I have to say, I think more things get noticed through my Facebook than through my Twitter site, but you don't have to do both. Oh, I meant to say, is there sound here? We'll find out. It doesn't matter if there isn't sound. Oh. Hope you didn't mind that few minutes. It's always bad to hand over to YouTube, because sometimes they don't work. Hope it wasn't too long. A lot of that's already happening. I've just been in Egypt, actually, last week, and I didn't meet anybody called Facebook or Twitter, but it says there that people have been named. But I mean, this is it's already happening. Like parents being friends with their children on Facebook and that kind of thing. I only know what my children are doing because of Facebook. Although I notice my daughter has now blocked me on Twitter. I don't know what that's about. So the whole idea of, I mean, in terms of sort of more medicine and nursing, the whole idea of infodemiology, you know, tweets can predict citations of papers. There's some evidence for that. There's some hard evidence for that, which I'll show you. Like it said, that the earthquake in on the east coast of America there was predicted by Twitter because people were sending out tweets as they were feeling the tremors. The way that people search for symptoms online often predicts epidemics because people are looking for the colds, fevers, and all the rest of it. And during the bird flu epidemic, tweets about it correlated with the incidence rates, and tweets about, for example, movies usually accurately predict their success at the box office. And we've just seen the election of a president in America whose campaign was probably completely conducted through social media. The press hated him, you know, the other politicians hated him, everybody seemed to hate him, yet there he is, he's in there. A massive social campaign, he just put everything out on Twitter and it got picked up by the people who wanted to vote for him. So, you know, I'm not saying that's necessarily a good thing, but the power of social media is demonstrable. So there's lots of different ways of doing it. How do we decide what we're going to do amongst all that myriad of different things? So, but I just wonder how many people feel like this. I keep meeting colleagues, even students, to be honest. Some of them, I would imagine, my colleagues older than people in the room here. But I just don't get Twitter. You know, I just don't get it. Therefore, that's their excuse for not using it. It doesn't matter. It's here and it's happening. I think people have got to realise that. And I think some people are afraid of Twitter. They don't know how to use it. They think somebody's going to get all their details and all the rest of it and hack their bank accounts and capture their children and break into their house and all the rest of it. Maybe. Don't put stupid things up on Twitter. Just put up the information. It depends what you put up there, doesn't it? So the power of Twitter is basically amplification very quickly of small messages that people can put out. If you've got enough followers and if you put out the right kind of messages and do the right kind of things with it. So, for example, this is just an example of a tweet from a magazine called Digital Woman, which went out to 7,000 followers. That was sent out to three people with 10,000 followers, roughly, and another person with 116. So within three retweets, it could potentially reach about 20,000 people. Now, all those 20,000 people won't see the tweet, and even the ones who see it won't do it. But imagine if 10% of them see it, 10% of them read it, something like that. That's 10%, that's several hundred people more than would have seen it otherwise. So the power of Twitter is quite impressive in a way that other platforms just don't work. It's quite unique in this way of amplifying messages. Can tweets predict citations? Well, there's a couple of classic studies. There are more being done, but these are the two key ones from the Journal of Medical Informatics Research by Gunther Eisenbach. He said that highly tweeted articles were 11 times more likely to be highly cited than less tweeted articles. Of course, the cause and effect is difficult to tease out, but the tweeting took place before the citation. And they've got some pretty impressive statistics there. And top cited articles can be predicted from top cited tweeted articles with 93% specificity and 75% sensitivity. That's pretty good. But anyway, this leads to the concept of twitations and twimpact, you know, that tweeting out your work gets you into this sort of area. Another article, which you won't be able to read in detail, but it's from Transplantation, about use of social media and other, this is the general social media, Twitter and blogs, says there that the odds of an article being highly cited were significantly increased by mentions in social media, odds ratio of 2.58, which is huge. So there is some evidence, you know, scholarly, formal evidence, but I'm not too worried about all that. We kind of know it makes sense. So I think the main thing to learn is how to be useful on Twitter. And I don't know, I guess your university has guidance on how to use Twitter, should have, on it, and using social media. A lot of this is the sort of thing that would be in there, but usually institutions have guidance on Twitter and use of social media, which are more prohibitive in telling you what not to do and so forth. But one of the good ways to be useful on Twitter is to put in pictures. It's a very powerful way to get your tweet noticed, just to link it to a picture. Very easy to do, especially on a smartphone or an iPad, and also on a computer. So, you know, this is from I was in Hong Kong. I didn't put this out, by the way, but I was in Hong Kong at this time, and this was during the riots, you know, and there was lots of information going on, but that's a very striking picture. Immediately you want to know, what's this about? So, you know, it's got the hashtag Occupy Hong Kong, and it's got a link to the story in the South China Morning Post. And, you know, I read it to find out what it was about. In fact, it was nothing whatsoever to do with the Occupy Hong Kong music, but it was movement, but it was something peripheral to it and just showed the sort of buzz that was going on in Hong Kong at the time. should contain hashtags as well. What are hashtags? You possibly know this already, but hashtags are ways of gathering. They serve two purposes. They gather information together. They also draw attention. They put your tweet into a list of other tweets with that hashtag in it. So they're a very useful way to gather tweets together, and then people can use them to search information very quickly. The hashtag I use most commonly is hashtag HCAFC, Hull City Association Football Club, on a Saturday when I want to find out what's happening to my football team. So, you know, I get information on Twitter using that hashtag more quickly than I get it on the BBC website, for example, because it's people at the match actually tweeting as they're at the match. So hashtags are a very useful way of finding out information. So you can see here's from the Journal of Advanced Nursing. You can see using hashtag Thriller Elite, we created that hashtag to gather together all the articles about this particular editorial by Philip Derbyshire. Try to minimise the trivia you put out on Twitter. Some people say, well, you should perhaps have two Twitter sites, a personal one and an academic one. I think that's a little bit difficult to manage, really. I think the thing is, if you're going to use this, have a Twitter site that's your personal one. Don't be afraid to use it. I'm not saying don't put out trivial things. People quite like reading funny comments, but you've got to keep it to a minimum. An ever-ending stream of trivial comments puts people off. This is me watching a programme called The Antiques Roadshow, much more exciting than American football, because that was on the other channel. I didn't know what on earth was going on. Okay, but that doesn't add anything to humanity at all, but it's at least I've got a few retweets and people conversing with me, you know. But, you know, you've got to be careful about putting this kind of stuff out. Try to retweet interesting material using that symbol on Twitter, and that's one of the best ways to get noticed, is to retweet other people's material. They will notice when you've retweeted it, and I notice when people retweet what I've put out, and then people will look and say, ah, who's that, and maybe make contact with you. They might follow you back, they might start tweeting out your material. So it's really good. Don't get into the habit that some people irritatingly have of just retweeting everything they get. That's, you know, try and retweet the interesting things with the links. So if you see an academic paper that's interesting, retweet it. These days you can retweet it plus a comment, say, I really found this paper useful for my PhD or whatever, for my hashtag PhD, that'll put it into a PhD, or hashtag PhD forum, there are various PhD forums, immediately puts it into a list of things which other people will look and find useful. But the main thing is that the person you've retweeted will notice and take notice of you in turn. Try not to be offensive. Beware of the career-ending tweet. Saturday night, you've had several glasses of wine, you see something on the television you don't like, or somebody's phoned you up and annoyed you, or you've read something you annoy you, stick it out on Twitter, you know, with an offensive word or something. Just don't do it, you know. Just be very, very careful. The rules in my university, certainly within nursing, are that you clearly can't mention patients or any confidential material regarding patients. That's common sense, you know that. Strictly speaking, you're not supposed to mention anything about clinical areas either. So we've got to tell students to be very careful. But there are people who've put out the career-ending tweet, and that's been the end of it. Now, this is more than just about promoting your work, and more than just about having fun. There's a formal measure now. Does anybody, just as a matter of interest, know altmetrics? No. Nobody seems to be nodding. Okay. Well, altmetrics are very difficult to know when they started. I don't think they're much more than 5 years old, but now they're becoming really important. I don't think they will replace formal citations. And I don't think they'll replace the other measures that we use, but they're certainly being used alongside them. And basically, they're a measure of social media activity on academic papers. So this is the symbol, and they're so important. This is the web page of the Journal of Advanced Nursing. Every article we publish, when you click on the article, Elsevier does the same. Sage, I'm sure, is doing the same. We'll have this thing, the altmetric score. 41's quite good. You can hover over that with your mouse, right click, and it'll tell you exactly what the links are that have created that altmetric score. So this is important because then you can realise the usefulness of social media, because the altmetric scores are now being used to rank papers on a separate kind of league table. And as I say, I'm quite sure this will become very important in future for universities and for publishers and for research bodies and such like, because this is evidence of impact. It's evidence that your work is getting out there. Altmetrics, if you've got time, look them up. They're quite complex. The best way to get an altmetric score is to be mentioned in an online newspaper. I think you get a score of 10 points. If you're mentioned in a blog, you get 6 points. If you're tweeted, you get 1 point. If it's on LinkedIn, you get 0.5, something like that. There's a tariff of points, but they're all useful. You don't get anything for tweeting your own material, okay? So, you know, but what you hope is by tweeting your own material that other people retweet it and put it out, that will contribute to the altmetric score. How they manage to measure all this, I haven't got a clue. There's some way of looking at the web and finding out how it all happens, but it's almost instant. It's almost updated on a daily basis. So that's one reason why social media are becoming really, really important to the publishing industry. Anybody got a blog? Hardly anybody ever puts their hand up at that one. Blogging is, well, I've got a blog. I've got several blogs. Blogging is this is where it all started, actually. Really, this is where Twitter started. Twitter's a microblog, so it's 140 characters, although they're making that slightly bigger now. A blog is a web page. You create it yourself. You can edit it yourself. You put the material up yourself. It's just a web page that you are totally in control of. If you use Google Blogger, completely free. But you can pay for blog sites as well. And you can write as much as you want on a blog. You can put in pictures, you can put in links, and all the rest of it. So I would, I think it's a really important way of getting your material out. I would, there's lots of advice on how to write blogs and what to put in them. My advice for blogging is to make them short, okay? Nobody wants to scroll down for page after page. That's the worst thing online. Make them nice and short. So we've got a blog site at Jan called Jan Interactive, and that is more or less one blog entry on one article. Okay, down below that there's a couple of lines and then the reference, and everything you put in can be linked to different things. Always nice to put in pictures. So we're using this as a way of promoting your research if you publish in Jan. Lots of other journals are doing this, but we're pretty much ahead of the game on nursing. We tweet out every article. We don't blog about every article because there are 300 of them a year, but we try and choose ones that we think are suitable for this medium and then push them out with the hope that they will be read, cited, and picked up and retweeted and such like by other people. So we've got link it to Twitter. We've also got a link to LinkedIn there. We do features like meeting the editors, and you can check up on them as well. The editorial assistant back in the office at Journal of Advanced Nursing, I write the content, and my social media editor writes some of the content, but Gareth back in the office is great at creating these things down the site here, which I don't know how to do. You saw YouTube mentioned there. I think YouTube is another very useful thing to think about, either as individuals or as research groups. And it's not as difficult as you think. It's a bit of a barrier to getting involved in YouTube for a start, but I'm sure lots of you have already put stuff up on YouTube. My kids are always putting stuff up. If you've got an iPhone, which I do back in the office, you can get an application on the iPhone which allows you to make a film, and as soon as you save it, it goes straight up to your YouTube feed. You don't have to do anything else. It's really, really useful. I can't remember what it's called. It'll come back to me. But the fantastic thing about YouTube is, as it said on that film, it's the second biggest search engine to Google. 20 hours of video are uploaded every minute. I don't know if you can do the math, but that's 100 years worth of video uploaded every day. It's absolutely huge. And I think the answer to that is not to feel overwhelmed by it, but is to get into it. And again, we offer people the opportunity to make YouTubes about their papers, Not many people take up the opportunity, but I would really encourage people to do it if they have the opportunity. But there's no reason why you can't be more proactive and be putting out your material on YouTube. Very, very easy to do. It takes a little bit of courage, first of all, to film yourself and all the rest of it and speak. But you don't have to go with the first one. You can do it again, you know. Get some simple editing software, free download, and you can edit it and all sorts of things. Quite simple to do once you've got it up there. So Twitter, blogging, YouTube. I think those are key things to any sort of social media strategy. And finally, we've got a couple of other things to talk about, podcasting as well. I think podcasting is a very effective way to get material out. And again, we offer people the opportunity to make podcasts about the papers. I make podcasts about the papers in the Journal of Advanced Nursing. And I was saying to Anna, I think, I started podcasting a year ago, and I've put up 200 podcasts, and they've had 14,000 downloads. And most of them are about the aspects of publishing, papers, open access publishing, predatory publishers, that kind of thing. But there's no reason why you can't use it to put out your research. The difference between a podcast and a YouTube obviously has pictures, but a podcast can be downloaded and people can listen to it on the move. And people do. People get back to me. They say, I listened to your podcast and such, that was very useful. What do you think about this? So I think podcasting's worth thinking about as well. Don't worry, you don't have to do all this tomorrow. You can build it up. You don't have to, you know, people tend to get a bit overwhelmed. You can learn these skills little by little. Podcasting, again, is easy. If you pay about $100 a year, you get a podcasting site where you can put up your files. Don't try and do it by yourself by creating a Google podcasting site. I found it far too complicated. And there are, you may not, because it's in English, have come across The Conversation. No, yes, yeah, okay. It's an Australian newspaper, Australian Initiative, funded by the Combank in Australia, and nearly all the universities in the world actually support this. I should check, the University of Navarra may support it. It doesn't really matter, anybody can use it. And the idea behind The Conversation is essentially it's a blog-type newspaper, and it's been hugely successful and hugely influential in getting research material out. And it's specifically for academics. You have to have an academic email address to a university. You can't use a Hotmail or a Gmail or a Yahoo or whatever. So you've got to be a bona fide academic or a PhD student or a master's student, as long as you have a university email address. And the idea behind The Conversation is you can pitch to write short pieces about your research. I've only had one accepted and one through. It's quite difficult to get your pitch through, but you learn how to get the essential features of your research into a couple of lines to the editors, who then decide whether it's useful or not. If they decide it's useful, then they will give you a short time to write 700 words, again, more or less one page of the internet, and they tell you exactly how to write it. So it's a very good exercise. Anyway, so worth having a look. It's worth subscribing online to The Conversation. You get an update every day. Today it's all about Donald Trump, obviously, but it's very topical. It keeps up with issues. So making it work. Don't run your social networking sites in isolation. So don't just, I'm just going to do Twitter and Facebook. Try and link them together, and I'll show you how you can do that. Try to develop a strategy for promoting your profile. So don't just jump into this and think, what do I do next? You know, I was talking to some colleagues yesterday about one of the research groups here having a social, you know, promoting their work. I think having an actual strategy, and strategy, you know, is how are we going to get this out there and how are we going to be better than other people? But, you know, how are we actually going to do that? Who's going to do it? How frequently are we going to do it? Decide what your essential content is. Don't feel obliged to put everything out and everything up. Just trying to think what is useful to get out there on social media. And decide how you're going to get it out there. Decide how you're going to promote it. So from the Times Higher, 10 tips for academics on blogging and social media. Think carefully exactly what you want to achieve by it. Don't just do it because I've said so or other people are doing it. Do it because you've got a purpose in doing it. You want to get your work out there. Think what you could achieve by this. Who are you trying to reach? Lay people, other academics, international audience. If it's international, it has to be in English, for example. Do you want to reach a local audience? It has to be in Spanish. Do you want to do it in both? You know, you've got to decide these things. For me, it's not a choice. English is the language. Consider, this is the thing that, this is actually the most important point, and it's the same, I say exactly the same about writing. Try and make it a normal part of what you do. Don't think my teaching, my writing, my research is here, but actually social media, it's over there, I'll never get to it. Just make it part of what you do, normal part of your working life. Develop a sense of the advantages and limitations of different platforms. I've tried to help you there, I think. Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, obviously things like LinkedIn and ResearchGate important as well, but that's slightly different. That's promoting you as an individual. But Twitter, blogging, YouTubing, podcasting, that kind of thing. Try and think of a strategy for what you want to do. And try and be realistic about the time available to yourself. Don't try and spread yourself across hundreds of sites, and don't try and do too much. Be aware of what you're publishing, but don't worry too much about, you know, don't be afraid to put material out. Common sense dictates what you put out. Don't say stupid things, don't be offensive. Don't put out your bank details, don't put out your address, you know, that kind of thing. Make your blogs easy to find, putting in tags, helping people to find the content. You can actually put in little search terms that can make it easy to find. Include the details of your blog and conference presentations at the end of your emails or whatever. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And make sure people know you're doing it. Don't just blog and keep it quiet. You know, people say, well, I've got a blog, but I don't really want anybody to see it. What are you blogging for, you know? Don't be shy. This is not for shy people. This is for blatant self-publicists like me. Well, we're not finished yet. Set up automated links. There's all sorts of things you can do to set up automated links. I'm not very good at this, but on our blog, Gareth, my assistant in the office, he can set up timings to put them out. So you don't feel you're going to be writing a blog and then putting it out. You can write them, publish them, but then they will appear at a certain time. And make sure that, yeah, if you're using Twitter, you know, make sure that you say something clear in the tweet about what the links are about. Don't just put a link out, be clear about it. I think that's it. Okay, so this is the final grand finale, as it were. I've got links to things there. I won't bore you with those. That's a YouTube, that's a podcast. But you can actually embed them very easily into presentations as well. And they're quite a useful way sometimes of getting small messages across. But for example, if you've got all these things here, I think you've got to appreciate that you can send out you can transmit your YouTube out through, for example, LinkedIn, through Twitter. You can put publications and metrics, for example, Google Scholar sites or Researcher ID or ORCID sites out through your Twitter site. You can link it there. You can link your blog to your Twitter site. You can have it at the bottom there. Websites, all of this can go out through Twitter. LinkedIn can be put out through Twitter as well, although not automatically these days. They've cut that link. Podcasts can be put out. You're getting the message. You can put almost everything out through Twitter. That can be the spearhead. And you can also embed links as well in things that other people will come to. So you can embed a YouTube link in your personal website if the university allows you to do that, or you can have a separate website. You can embed your blog in your website, publication metrics. You can embed your blog in your email. Everything can go out in email, although then you've got to send the message out. It's not found by other people. It's a selected audience. You can put your Twitter handle into email. You can put your Twitter handle. You know, you get the message. There's almost no limit to the way that you can embed things so people will find them. Then you can link it all together in that horrible diagram there. I hope you're not copying that. You can have the slides if you want. And then, of course, the public will see your LinkedIn site. They'll see your website. They'll see your blog. And they will pick up these other links. And that will be collaterally, rather than you deliberately having to send them out. So a lot of this will just happen automatically. You don't have to actually do anything, provided you've got all these links already automatically set up. So it looks complicated, but it really doesn't take that much time to do. And just to show you that what's possible, I've got links on my own university webpage to my blog, to Google Scholar, to list of publications, Researcher ID and ORCID. We're not allowed to put up our Twitter sites or Facebook sites or anything like that. But these are all, you know, you can actually embed them quite easily. Okay. Oh, I meant to put, how bad, I meant to put the blog site there as well. I've changed the slide. So, any questions?